Today we celebrate with our high school seniors as they prepare to shift gears in life. Some of us, that's been so long ago, we've forgotten about that. But some of us, it's not that far back. And some of you are seniors or juniors or are in college now, and you're in a new chapter of your life, or you're about to embark on a new chapter. And so we just want to encourage those seniors today and our students today, but I want to encourage all of you because there's a word, I believe, from God for all of us today. And you know what? We congratulate our seniors. When we were in school, we couldn't wait. We couldn't imagine how long it was going to be to graduate, could we? And then when we get out a few years, we think, where did these years go? Some of us have been out. Now we don't count it in years, we count it in decades. You see what you have to look forward to? But the years go quickly. We're in high school and we think we'll never get there. They're just going too slow. And we get to, well, my age, or older, and we wonder where those years went. And so I want to encourage you kids, you young men and young women. You're not kids. Young men and young women, and moms and dads too, to pay heed to what Job tells us here this morning about wisdom. You know, there's a whole lot of wisdoms around. And the world will offer us a lot of wisdoms, and that's fine. But we also need to know the wisdom that Job is talking about here. And so, I want to spend a little time talking about that, particularly to seniors, but I believe God has a word for each of us here today. And if you've got your Bible, I'm going to read the chapter of Job 28. And the reason I got to read it for you, because it sets the stage for one final sentence, one final verse that Job brings it all together in the last verse in this particular chapter, Job 28. So let me just tell you what he's talking about if you haven't read this lately. He's talking about mining in the earth for precious stones and golds and silvers and sapphires. He's talking about digging under the earth in the darkness, in the blackness of the hole, in the pit, if you can just imagine those types of places. And he's talking about searching for treasure. So let's look and see what he says. Job 28. There is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to the darkness. He searches the farthest recesses for ore in the blackest darkness. Far from where people dwell, he cuts a shaft. In places forgotten by the foot of man, far from men, he dangles and he sways. The earth from which food comes is transformed below as by fire. Sapphires come from its rocks, and its dust contains nuggets of gold. No bird of prey knows that hidden path. No falcon's eye has seen it. Proud beasts do not set foot on it, and no lion prowls there. Man's hand assaults the flinty rocks and lays bare the roots of the mountains. You see, he's continuing to talk about this mining process, about searching underground for riches. He tunnels through the rock. His eyes see all its treasure. He searches the sources of the rivers and brings hidden things to light. But then he says, ah, but where can wisdom be found? You see what he's saying? We're searching. We're digging. We're burrowing. We're tunneling, we're going after the riches of the earth. And he's bringing this all to light for us. And he says, but where can wisdom be found? And he says, where does understanding dwell? Man does not comprehend its worth. He's talking now about wisdom. Man does not comprehend its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says it's not in me. The sea says it's not with me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, with precious onyx or sapphire. He's still talking about wisdom. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. You see, he's starting to set the stage here. He's starting to set the tone of this value of this thing called wisdom. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. And again he says, where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and He alone knows where it dwells, for He views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When He established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when He made a decree for the rain and a pattern for the thunderstorm, then He looked at wisdom and He appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And He said to man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. And so Job, for a whole chapter, has put together analogies and word pictures that we can understand, that his readers, that the people of that time could understand about searching the world for gold, for riches, for sapphire, for all manner of things, searching and longing for the wisdom and the wealth, if you will, of the world. And he concludes it all by saying, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And I wonder sometimes in our life searching for fame or fortune, notoriety, I wonder if that isn't all just in vain until we really recognize the wisdom that Job is talking about. To fear the living God. To know the living God. And I've wondered about that all week. And I've asked myself, what is that, the fear of the Lord? What does that mean? And it means a lot of things. I'll mention a couple now, and I'll mention a couple in a few minutes when we close. But do we think about that at all anymore? The Almighty God in His sovereignty, yes, in His majesty, in His awesomeness, do we think about that? Do we have a reverent fear for the Master? I'm not talking about sitting in the corner cowering in fear about Jesus or about the God of the universe. I'm talking about knowing Him so intimately that it changes me. I'm talking about having a reverent respect for Him as God Almighty. Too oftentimes I fear we've brought Him down and set Him on a pedestal and say, here's what I want, God. Too oftentimes I fear we've taken the God of the heavenlies who has created us and all of earth and we've reduced Him to humanity and we treat Him like a puppet on a string. I'm not talking about we have to sit in the corner cowering in fear of Him, but I am talking about what Job is talking about here. The fear of the Lord is a reverent respect for Him, for who He is, an obedience to Him, a recognizing of Him for who He is, not just one of the ways to heaven, not just one of the gods out there someplace, but the Almighty God. I'm talking about a knowledge of Him and a surrender to Him that's real. And I wonder sometimes if we've lost that reverent fear of Almighty God for who He is. The psalmist has much to say. We don't have time to look at very much of it, but I've been reading through the Psalms again today, and let me just encourage you, if you're going through some difficulties, there's a psalm for you. There's a lot of good psalms. Even if you're praising and rejoicing in Jesus, there's a psalm for you too. And I'd encourage you, if you haven't picked up the good book lately, pick it up and turn to Psalms and read a few of them. There's a word for you there. And I've been perusing the Psalms the last few days, and as I've been reading through them, and just so many things there about the fear of the Lord, so many things about wisdom. And I've just picked a couple verses from the Psalms that got me to thinking. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Did you know that? Psalm 14:1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So I bring that back to wisdom, and I conclude the fear of the Lord. We need to start by recognizing that He exists. That He's real, that He's almighty, that He's sovereign, that He's omnipotent and relevant to our lives. Not so far above us, we can't achieve Him or attain Him or talk to Him, but relevant to our lives, everyday lives. Psalm 16:2 says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. It's an acknowledging of Him. It's a surrendering to Him. Psalm 18:1 says, oh, I love you, O Lord, my strength. We can gain all manner of wisdom from the world of different kinds through our studies, through training, through life, through examples, through experience. We can gain these wisdoms. But I wonder what kind of wisdom sometimes that Job was talking about. The psalmists were talking about. The writer of Proverbs. They all talk about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They all talk about wisdom being the fear of the Lord. And I wonder what kind of wisdom, what kind of deep knowledge and understanding they're talking about. Because I can gain wisdom from books, okay? We can. We've gained some wisdom. I suspect these seniors have gained some wisdom from books. Is that correct? Some? Lana, you've gained some wisdom, right? And we can gain wisdom from learning and on-the-job experiences and training and all that stuff. And you know what? We take time. We take time. I know we do. To read the paper. We take time to read the magazines. We take time to read Sports Illustrated and Sports Afield and Outdoor Life and 17 and all these things, don't we? Are we gaining wisdom from this book? Do we know what this book says about wisdom? Do we know what this book says about life? Because brothers and sisters, quite frankly, if we never pick it up, we ain't going to know what it says. You might hear what I say today from Job 28, but you need to read it. You need to verify it. You need to make sure the word is true. This is where we gain the ultimate wisdom of the knowledge of the living God. This may not tell us who to marry, but it gives us instructions about marriage. This may not tell us which job to get, but it tells us instructions about seeking the face of God. This is the book of wisdom. And I fear, friends, that too often times we're, and I like to read too, I read books, I read magazine, I read the paper, but I do not neglect a day without reading from this book either. And so I want to encourage us, not just our high school seniors, but us, gain wisdom from the author of wisdom, the Heavenly Father. As I said earlier, I fear that we may have lost our fear of the Lord in America, in Western civilization. We may have simply reduced Him down to a puppet on a string. Says, I want this or I want that. I also fear that we've replaced that fear and respect for the living Almighty God with, this is what I want and this is what I need, Father, so let's see what we can do about that. I fear that we have replaced that reverent fear, respect, surrender of Him with just a casual, maybe even meaningless acquaintance to Him. Psalm 84 says, how lovely, 84, 1 and 2, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs for and indeed faints for the courts of the Lord. And I wonder today how our soul, how often our soul longs for being in the presence of the Almighty. Remember a while back I said, if we don't long for that now, if we don't long to be in the presence of the living God now by spending time with Him in the book, by spending time with Him in prayer, by spending time with people, by just praising Him, we can do it on the deer stand, we can do it at the factory, we can do it at home. If we do not long for that experience, that presence in the very presence of God today, why would we want to go to heaven? Remember when I asked you that before? Some of our seniors remembered that, and they were talking about that. The psalmist said, how lovely is your dwelling place. O Lord of hosts, my soul longs and indeed faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Is that how we go through life? Or do we never even include Him in our life? Longing to be in His presence. My soul singing for joy because I know Him. And as Job said too, even though He slay me, even though death takes hold of me, I told you I spoke to Dave Bush just a few minutes ago. He's lying in a hospital bed. He's sick. with cancer. He's had bone cancer a long time. He's sick. And he said to me, yet God is on the throne. Do we long for the presence of the Almighty every day? Of course, we got studying to do. We got tests. We got finals. And I know our students will have many challenges, but do we long for the presence of the living God? In whatever we're doing, I can be a housewife, I can be a janitor, I can be a senator, I can be whatever. Do we long for the presence of the living God? Wisdom begins to long for the Master, to long for more of Him. Wisdom strives to be like Jesus. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord, Job said, and the psalmist said, and the writer of Proverbs said. And I want to encourage you, seniors. I remember the day my parents dropped me off at college. That was a hard day for me. I hadn't been away from home for very long periods of time. But you see, we have this new feeling. We have this new idea. We're like the bird that sprouted its wings and stepped off the edge of the nest and can fly. I'm free. Pretty cool. I can fly. And so I want to encourage you, seniors and up-and-coming students and all of us, even though we can fly, we got a lot of decisions to make before us. Continue to seek the face of the living God. Don't get too busy, even in college, to neglect time to worship Him. If you find a church where you're going to college, worship Him. Take time on Sunday morning. I walked around Fargo looking around with a couple of other people, found a couple of churches I liked, and I went there once in a while. And I'm not bragging that I was all that good, because I wasn't. I wasn't walking with the Lord at all, as a matter of fact, at the time. But we're like that little bird standing on the edge of the nest. You've seen the robin babies get out on the edge of it, flap their wings, or you've seen the movies about the eagle stepping on the edge of their nest, flapping the wings. I'm free. And when we're free, don't neglect the living God. Don't get too busy to go to church and worship Him and find Christian brothers and sisters. They're in colleges. And continue to walk with Jesus. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said this, do not fear those, I'm still talking about the fear of the Lord being wisdom, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. But Jesus says, rather fear Him who can destroy both body and hell. Body and soul in hell. Recognize who God is. Remember your walk with Jesus. Remember, He is relevant even in the next chapter of our life, whatever that is. The Proverbs reminds us that it is the Lord who gives wisdom. The Proverbs reminds us that the fool despises wisdom. He's talking about the wisdom of the fear of the Lord. We've just heard the Truth Project, a lot of us, on Sunday nights for the last several months, and some of you have seen it on your own. The Truth Project reminds us of all the ways to look at things around the world, all the ways society perceives things, and yet it always comes back to the truth of Christ. Yes, there's wisdom to be gained. Just like gathering up gold and rubies and all these things that Job talked about. But do we have the wisdom from the wisdom giver? Do we know Him? Do we walk with Him? Do we serve Him no matter what challenges lie ahead? No matter what studies I have ahead of me? Do we seek the face of God for wisdom? God, help me to know what You would have me to do in my studies. You know what? I never thought about that. I was 40 years old before I started seeking the Lord and saying, God, what would You really have me to do? Wouldn't have been a bad idea at 18. Actually, I went to college at 17. Wouldn't have been a bad idea to be seeking God's face and saying, you know what, God, what would You have me to do? And so let me encourage you, young men and women, and moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and all of us, seek the face of God for decision making. He has a better way. He has the best way. He has a path for you. When we surrender our lives to Him, He has a path for you. Let us never forsake our understanding and our knowledge of Him. A lot of times, you've heard the statistics, you've heard me tell them, that there's X percentage of our young people in church when they graduate, and there's Y percent left after they've been to college, and it's drastically different. You've heard me say those statistics. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be that way. We can continue to seek the face of God no matter what age, no matter what school, no matter what studies. We need to continue to seek the face of God. Let me close with this. To fear the Lord, begin with recognizing who He is. He is God. He is the creator of the universe. He is the creator of everything. We may think we had a lot to do with our life, but we don't. He is the creator. We are the dust. Recall that. Recall the difference between the creator and the created. Never forget to recognize He is God. Never forget to recognize that I am not. Commandment number one. Remember what we studied here a while back? You shall have no other gods before you. Remember that even though how high and mighty I may feel, I am not God. I may be blessed by God. I am not God. I am not His equal. I am nothing even close. Reverent respect of the Almighty for who He is and what He has blessed you with. Without Him, we can do nothing. But yet with Him, Jesus said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No matter where I go in life, what I get done or what I accomplish, never forsake the need for dependence upon the Master. Never forsake the need for more knowledge of the Master. Never forsake the need, if you haven't exercised it already, for faith in Christ Jesus as your Lord. Never forget that, no matter how young or old we are. Read the Bible. In all the rest of your busyness, in all the rest of your degrees that you need to pursue, in all the rest of the goals that you need to do, that you need to work on, seek the face of God and see what His plan for your life would be. I'm going to invite our seniors to come up here. I don't want to embarrass you. You can just stand up here and face the front. We got a little something we want to give you. And after Jess and Tim, you want to come up here. Jess and Tim have worked with our teens for a number of years. And after Jess and Tim have given them a little something here, I'm going to ask Mom and Dad or Grandpa and Grandma or whoever came along to come forward and just stand behind them. Do you want to face them or you want to face the front? Well, you're all facing them now, so you're looking good. You're looking real good. Someday I'm going to borrow this shirt and I'm going to wear it to church. Doesn't that look good? So we're going to give them a little something here. And we believe that this is the most important thing that we could give them. It's simply the Word of God. No matter what we strive for in life, the words of life are here. Remember that song we just sang? Ancient words, ever true. Changes me. Changes you. And so this may not seem like much to you, but to me it seems like everything. Because this is the words of life. And so we have a Bible for each of you. I'm going to let Tim and Jess give them to you and congratulate you. We are so proud of you. We love you. We thank you for being part of us for a few years. And let me encourage you to spend time in the book. Because this is where the words are. This is where true wisdom is. Jess and Tim, go ahead. And then I'm going to ask the students to turn around. I'm going to go up on the stage, and I'm going to ask moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, to come and just put your hands on your son or daughter or your grandson, your grandchild, or other people too. We're just going to pray for them. We're going to bless them. We're going to pray for them. So I'm going to ask them to turn around as soon as they've got their Bibles and face me, and then moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas, you come forward, put your hands on them. We're going to pray for them. There are a couple of other seniors that have been very much a part of our group. They're not all here today. Some are celebrating other places. But there are, in fact, other seniors that have been part of us. Nick has been part of us. You're going to see some pictures here in just a moment. And James and Anais and Rachel and Amanda. There has been other seniors that have been very much part of us. But we're so thankful that these could be part of us today. Now, ladies and gentlemen, would you turn and face me? And moms and dads, I want to invite you, or Sherry, or Jess and Tim. Moms and dads, I want you to come and lay hands on your child or your grandchild or your friend. Maybe it's your friend up here today. I want you to come and just lay your hands on them. And I'm going to pray for them. So just spread out a little bit and lay hands on these, your loved ones. We're gonna pray for them. And we're just going to ask the Lord to bless them. Let's pray together. God in heaven, you have been so good to us. You have blessed us with children. You have blessed us with family. And these young people, Father, here seem so young to me anyway. But yet they're men and women who will go into life, who will go into the next phase, who will go into the next chapter. They will spread their wings like the little bird analogy on the standing on the edge of his nest, and they will fly. Father, please help them fly in a direction to you. Please help them to continue to seek the face of the living God. Please help them, Father, when they're feeling down. Please help them when they're discouraged. Please watch over them, Father, when they're tempted, because we know the adversary. We know the world will come by and tempt them and try to get them off, get their focus off Jesus. Gracious God, please protect them. Please bless them and watch over them wherever the next chapter takes them and the chapter after that leads them. Please, gracious God, draw them near yourself. Help these, your children, to be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and you, O God, all the days of their lives. Help them, Father, to be steadfast in their faithfulness and their obedience to you. Go with them, gracious God, as they graduate here from high school, as they take those next steps, as they open that next chapter. Go with them, gracious God, and watch over them, we pray. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.